Hey, folks, have you ever had any trouble understanding something? And you know, somebody was trying maybe to explain something to you and you just weren't getting it. And then all of a sudden what they did was they shared a story with you that was something that you could relate to. And in doing so, all of a sudden the light bulb came on. You're like, oh, okay, I understand what you're talking about now. Well, throughout the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, this was something that Jesus did often. If you want the technical term for it, people call it the parables. These were short stories that Jesus would tell to folks that had a concept that they could understand to help drive home a point that Jesus was trying to make. Most of us know that, but yet there's sometimes people who wonder about that. I've had that question before, so I just wanted to kind of lead with that because over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the parables of Jesus, meaning a story that he would tell to those that were his followers or those that were his listeners that would help relate a biblical truth to them. So grab your Bible, come on back in just a moment. We're going to look at the parable of the sower out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to thank you so much for taking this time and joining us today to gather around God's Word and to study. One of the things that we mentioned as we led in to our Bible study today is that we're going to start looking at some of the parables. These were little short stories that Jesus would tell that people could understand using content that people could understand to help drive home a point that he was trying to get them to understand. Now, the parable of the sower is one of the most well-known and widely interpreted parables of Jesus, and this parable holds a central message in understanding the kingdom of God and its growth. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. It says, "On the same day Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for the Holy Spirit that teaches us. Lord, as your children, as your believers, you give us that Holy Spirit to interpret your word to us. So, Father, right now, we pray that as we take not only this day, but Lord, some weeks as we go forward to look at the parables, to see what it is that you were teaching, not only your disciples, but the people that were around you. Lord, you taught them lessons that were relevant then, but Lord, lessons that are also relevant to us today. So Lord, may the Holy Spirit speak loudly and clearly, and Lord, may we give ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. So Lord, for these moments, I pray that you would use me as your messenger, that, Lord, you truly would be high and lifted up. As always, Father, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you today, that today truly would be the day they would give their heart to you and there would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven. So, Father, bless our time as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, see, a lot of you, I'm sure that as we got into that passage, there were a lot of you that said, oh, yeah, I've heard this before. I know this one. This one I've heard all my life. It's been preached on in many, many different ways. But I want us to kind of pull this apart a little bit today and look at what the interpretations are as far as what Jesus was trying to get across to the folks. One of the things I want us to look at first is, you know, what is the setting of this particular parable? And this is something that we see, excuse me, in verses 1 and 2. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the sea. But it says that as he was doing that, a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, a lot of us have heard this before, and maybe a pastor has pointed that out, or your Sunday school teacher, but there was a whole bunch of people that were wanting to hear Jesus. Obviously, he's down there by the sea, so that kind of limits how many people can get close to him. So they talk about the fact that he was put in a boat and pushed out a little bit more. I guess you would call that your modern day platform. So as we talk about these things, I want you to get the view of what's going on. If you were painting a picture and you were listening to this description, insert yourself into this parable today. Maybe picture yourself as one of those that was hearing what it was that Jesus had to say. So you're down there essentially by the sea. There's a ton of people around. Jesus is sitting in a boat. He begins to teach them. And what we want to look at in verse 2 also talks about what manner he taught the crowd. It says that he did that as he was sitting there in the boat. And then in verse 3 it talks about, you know, what the sower did with the seed. So now we're starting to get into what this parable begins to say. It talks about what the sower did. Here's a sower. He's got some seed. And often I think about what that looked like as I grew up. You know, I didn't grow up in the time where you had all the fancy little things. I can still remember seeing a guy one time that was sowing grass seed, and he had this thing across his shoulder that looked like a paper carrier sack, and it had a little handle on it. And when he would crank that handle, it would throw the seed out. And I thought, boy, that would be a handy little gadget, because all the time that I ever sowed grass seed, I just had the bag and I was sitting there reaching into it with my hand and I would just kind of fling the seed out there. And I'm sure that's what was taking place kind of back in that day as the sower went forth. The first thing that we have to understand that he did was that he sowed seed. Look with me at verse 3. Verse 3 says, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Now, a lot of people might not think that that is a pertinent point, but let me tell you, that really is a pertinent point when we are starting to understand how this parable fits in with us today, how it's applicable today. The first thing that you have to understand is that there was a sower and he had a job to do. He went out to sow the seed. Now, many could probably think very quickly about how that would relate to our spiritual walk and how that would relate to our spiritual life. And the best way for me to say that is simply this. When you have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, we know that throughout this particular parable that the seed begins the representation of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Well, as a born-again believer, you and I have the responsibility to go out and sow the seed, or to tell the gospel message to those that are in our sphere of influence, those that are in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, the people that we come in contact with. So one of the things that we have to understand is that that's a very critical point. The sower had something he had to do. He went out and he sowed seed. So as he did, what happened to the seed in each type of soil? And that's what we're going to look at in verses 4 through 7, because it begins to talk about these different types of soil and what took place, how the seed reacted with different types of soil. Now, I know that where I grew up, back in Hinton, West Virginia, the soil is a lot different than it is where I live in central North Carolina today. There was good fertile soil back in the mountains. You could plant just about anything in it, and it was going to grow. You come here to central North Carolina, and you've got that red clay mud. Now, that's not to say that things won't grow well in it, but often what will happen is those that plant seeds or flowers or vegetables or whatever, a lot of them will use some topsoil to put in, particularly with that clay, so that they will get a good result of yield. Different types of soil will also determine, you know, what happens with that seed. Now, you can understand the spiritual application as we begin to go forward, so keep those things in mind. You know, and then we're going to see what the result of the sowing of that seed were, and essentially the concluding statement in this particular parable. So let's look and see how we interpret this. In this parable, Jesus uses this agricultural imagery to represent the spiritual growth of the kingdom of God. You see, the sower refers to Jesus, the Word of God, who spreads the seed or the gospel to a different type of soil, and the soil is representation of the people. Now, the different types of soil represent the different conditions of the people's hearts when they receive the gospel, meaning when that seed is sown. Now, if you've ever been a person who has gone out and had that opportunity to share the gospel message with other people, there have probably been times when you have been well received. People have heard the gospel message. They have been thankful for it. Hopefully and prayerfully, there have been those people that when you have shared that message, they have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has. I'm sure that there's probably a person that maybe you have shared Jesus with that basically cut you off and said, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to know anything whatsoever about this gospel message, and I don't want to hear anything whatsoever about Jesus. You've probably heard that as well. Oftentimes, discouragement comes when that takes place. But there's different types of soil that represent the different conditions of people's hearts when they received or heard the gospel message. Now, the hard path that we read about in our text represents those who have closed their hearts to the message of Jesus, okay? Those that are just, hey, look, I don't want to hear it, you know, regardless of what happens, you can say what you want. Some will listen to you, some won't even listen to you. They'll be like, don't want to hear it. But they've closed their heart to the message of Jesus. Now, there's also the mention of the rocky ground in this particular parable and passage, and that rocky ground represents those who received the word with enthusiasm, but they quickly fell away because of trials. Now, some of you, if you're born-again believers, and particularly if you're actively involved in church, there have probably been times when you have seen a person very excited as they've come to know Jesus, and then, you know, maybe 6 months or a year down the road, you don't see them anymore, or you have a chance to talk to them, and they're like, you know, I'm just not interested in that anymore. And what happened was, as you get that chance to talk to them, there were trials and tribulations and situations that happened in their life, and they prayed, and God didn't show up in their situation in a way that they felt like He should have, okay? So when you begin to think about that sort of ground, that rocky ground, it is representation of those who have heard the word, maybe even received the word. They did so with vim, vigor, and vitality, but quickly fell away because of the trials that happened in their lives, okay? So then we see yet another type of soil, as it were, and that's the thorny ground. And that thorny ground represents those who received the word or heard the word of God, but they're distracted by the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. In other words, it's all about what I can do to gain more wealth, and it is a huge, huge distraction. I can't tell you how many times throughout the Bible that Jesus mentions this. You know, he talks about the fact, he says that it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's not saying that because rich people can't be saved. He's saying that because often what happens is the wealthy are more in tune to their money, gaining money, earning money, spending money, whatever the situation may be, as opposed to being giving their full attention to the Savior in their life and a walk with Him. Now, I want to say this, you know, so that people don't take me wrong. There is a balance. You know, I know a lot of wealthy people who are good Christian people. But the reason why they're that way is because they realize that God has allowed them to be stewards of that wealth, meaning it's not really theirs, it's His. But God has given them responsibility to use it for His will and to use it His way. And when people keep those things in proper perspective, God is very much so pleased. So now remember, when we go back and we're talking about that thorny ground represents those who heard or received the word, but they're distracted by the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, they just worry all the time. Oh, what about this and what about that? I've said this very often around Central Baptist Church. There are too many people that are too busy worrying about today and worrying about tomorrow to enjoy the day that God has given them. And folks, the interesting part about it is by the time the day is through and the next day happens and you start to worry about it, you're never enjoying the goodness of God in the day that He has given us. I love where the word says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And he also says this. He says, you know, we don't know whether or not we are going to have tomorrow. So we might as well be all we can be for today, because tomorrow may never come. Okay. Then another type of soil that is mentioned in this text is the good soil. Now, the good soil represents those who hear and understand the word of God. And because of that, it bears fruit in their lives. I love what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God says that you will know they're Christians by their love, but he also goes on and he says that a Christian person will bear fruit. Now, what kind of fruit are we talking about there? You know, maybe you're new to a walk with Christ. So when we talk about bearing fruit, what does that mean? That means the fruits that are mentioned in the Bible. And I know a little song we used to sing when I was younger and in Bible school and places like that, but it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the ones that he talks about that are fruit. And the Spirit within you should bear fruit within you as well. Now, one of the final mentions in this particular text is down in verse 9 when he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Now, this emphasizes the importance of understanding the message of the parable and how it applies to our lives. You know, one of the things that I've said before that I loved about watching my son go through his bachelor's work in college were the professors. Now, my son was a criminal justice major, and the thing about it was, it didn't matter that he was a criminal justice major. There was always the question on the test or in the class that would ask him this particular question: how are you going to apply the biblical principles to your life, or how are you going to apply what you learned in this class to your biblical worldview, and how are you going to exercise it every day? Folks, it's not good enough just to have the words of God in your head. They need to change your life. So how is what we're learning today going to be applicable to us? What is the application? Well, as believers, we are all called to spread the good news of the gospel. Remember, a little while ago, I talked about that sower and how important it was to understand that the sower had a job. You know, he was a sower and he sowed seed. You know what? We can be Christians and have the gospel and Jesus Christ within us, and we never share it with anybody else. And when we don't, we're like a sower who's not sowing his seed. So as believers, we are called, we are commanded to spread the good news of the gospel, just as the sower was spreading his seed. Now, my question today is simply this: are we actively sharing the word of God with those that are around us? That is a straightforward question. And I know that in your life and a lot of our lives, some of us are going, hey, how are you answering that question? Are you actively sharing the word of God with those that are around you, those in your life, those that are in your sphere of influence? It is essential to examine our hearts to see if we have any hardness, to see if there are any of those rocks or those thorns that may hinder the growth of the word of God in our lives, okay? Yeah, are we truly open and receptive to the message of Jesus? Are there any distractions or concerns that are keeping us from fully embracing the word of God and what it is that he wants in our lives? Remember, this is how we make application to it. Are there things that are keeping you from doing that? Things that the Holy Spirit showed you right now. I mean, in the midst of us talking about this, there were those thorns or rocks or that hardness or whatever it may be that is hindering you from being everything that the Lord wants you to be. I promise you that if they're there, the Holy Spirit will point them out if you will only seek him, okay? The only way to produce fruit in our lives, remember the fruits we were talking about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The only way to produce those fruits in our lives is by being rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You got to have good roots so that you'll withstand the storms. You know, how can we cultivate good soil in our hearts to receive the seed of the gospel and allow it to bear fruit in our lives, okay? Sometimes the field needs to be prepared. I know that there are times when Jana and I will go out and we're gonna plant like a little garden or something. Well, to do so, we have to prepare the soil. There are times when people will take certain fertilizer and they'll turn that within the soil. They're getting everything ready to be most advantageous for the plants to take good root and to be nourished and to grow. We need to do the same thing in accordance with the gospel. If the field of our heart is not prepared, then we need to prepare it. We need to get the rocks out of the way. We need to get the distractions out of the way. We need to fertilize that soil really, really well so that those fruits may not only produce, but they will be produced in abundance within us. Okay? So what is the biblical truth of this parable? What is the biblical truth of this passage? Well, this parable of the sower teaches us that the growth of the kingdom of God is dependent on the condition of our heart when we receive the word. You know, only those who hear and understand the message of Jesus and allow it to take root in their heart can bear fruit and be a part of the kingdom of God. Okay? Very simple solution or very simple application of very simple biblical truth. So what is the action? You know, when we learn something, we always have to figure out how can we make application to the truth that we have learned in our hearts. Well, first of all, we can examine our hearts and we can strive to create good soil for the Word of God to take root and to produce fruit in our lives. Now, one of the things that I can say that even goes to a Christian person. I've said this many times at Central when people show up to church. I'm like, listen, I know Satan's already tried to beat on you. Satan's already tried to distract you. Sometimes he'll even keep us so busy doing good things that we miss the best things that God has in store for us. Don't allow those things to happen. You know, when it comes time for you to get into the Word of God, make sure that you're in that quiet place. Make sure the distractions are not around you. And strive to create a good soil for the Word of God to be able to take root and to produce fruit in our lives. You know, when you're sitting there and you're upset with your spouse, or when your kids have gotten on your last nerve, or somebody, you know, the phone just keeps on ringing, and we let all these distractions irritate us and make us mad, then all of a sudden we're not hearing from God as we ought to. The soil is not prepared as it should. I know that there have probably been times that you have walked into church. I know I have, even as the pastor, and you've sat back and said, I really don't want to be here today. Or somebody has said something that was very unkind to you. Or you know that as you look out over that crowd that there are those that have aught against one another. And you realize that they're more seething in the situation than they are soaking in the Word of God. Folks, don't allow that to happen. You know, God has given very clear and specific ways of how we need to handle those things within His Word. We need to strive to actively share the gospel with those around us as well. Once we've got that under control and that seed is hitting that good soil within our hearts, we need to actively share the gospel with those that are around us, trusting that God will ultimately bring the growth to His kingdom. You know, I'm thinking about a situation that just happened to me recently where I had an opportunity to be making a run for the North Carolina Baptist Men. And I was in a place I've never been before in my life. It was lunchtime. It was past lunchtime. I was hungry. I stopped. I went in and I had a chance to meet a lady. And this lady's name was Vicky. And Vicky, you know, in sharing her story, hadn't eaten in a couple of days and had just been released from the hospital. And I told Vicky, I said, well, Vicky, I said, I tell you what, I said, I'll be more than happy to buy you lunch. I said, but there's only one condition. And she said, well, what's the condition? I said, the condition is that you sit down and that you and I have lunch together and we get a chance to talk and know each other a little bit more. And she said, I'll take you up on that. So we went up and Vicky ordered the meal that she wanted and I ordered mine, paid for it, and had a chance to sit down. And I began to talk with Vicky and I began to hear her story. And she said, you know, she said, I've been praying for days. She didn't know I was a pastor. She didn't know anything about me. She didn't even know that I was on a delivery mission for the North Carolina Baptist Men. But she said, you know, I've been praying that God would help me. And I said, well, you know, Vicky, I said, I want to tell you how important you are to God today. I said, you know, God sent me here today. I said, I don't even know where I am other than I'm at a Burger King somewhere along Highway 74 in the state of North Carolina. That's all I know. I said, but God knew that But before I even left Greensboro, North Carolina, I said, then I went through Red Springs, and then he brought me down 74 to this particular place to see you out here at this particular time to meet the need. By the way, God is the one who is meeting your need. So I want you to know that your prayers were not in vain. God sent me all the way from Central North Carolina here to take care of the need that you asked him to take care of. Remember what the Lord's Prayer said, give us this day our daily bread. And I said, you know what? God has blessed you today. He's answered half of the prayers that you told me that you had been praying today. And I said, do you mind if I pray with you and ask God to meet the other need that is prevalent in your life today? And she said, oh, that's not a problem at all. And I had a chance to pray with her. And through finding out her story, I know that she was she's genuinely a born-again believer. And I told her when I left, I said, well, you know, Vicki, I said, if I don't see you here anymore, I'll see you when we make it to the streets of gold in that place called heaven. And she had the biggest smile you've ever seen in your life. But folks, listen, God puts divine appointments in our way, and we have to be ready, willing, and able to share that gospel with those that are around us. Listen, how many times are we missing out on opportunities to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? All you got to do is look around. I promise you, they're there every day. And you know what? You may be the answer to somebody's prayer. You know, you as a sower may be sowing the seed and asking God to prepare the hearts of the hearers so it falls in that fertile soil so that you may have the opportunity to see those fruits. You know, when we may not see those fruits on this side of glory, it may not be till we're on the other side of glory that we see the great and incredible things that God will do. But the bottom line is, he has called us to be faithful and he's called us to be obedient. And therefore, we have taken a look today at the parable of the sower, the story that Jesus gave to help instill in us the fact that we need to be sowing the seed, and that we also need to be receiving the seed. Our hearts need to be prepared, and the fact that God has prepared hearts all around us with fertile soil, but we need to be sowing that seed. Can you say that you're doing that, or are you allowing the distractions of this world to keep you from being the sower that God has called you to be? We're going to pray that God will give you strength in that area here in just a moment. But first of all, let me go ahead and tell you what your scripture reading for this week will be. I want you to spend a little bit of time in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. That's what I want you to study this week. And next week, we are going to discuss the forgiveness of debts from Luke, chapter 7, verses 41 through 43, specifically, as we take yet another look at one of God's parables, or one of the parables of Christ that he has placed in the New Testament for us. Forgiveness of debts. Very interesting one that's going to be coming forward. Will you let me pray with you today as we close our time together? Father, as we come to you now, we're again thankful that you call us to be sowers. Lord, help us to take that job very seriously, realizing that as your children, you have given us the gospel message, and you want us to sow that seed in the hearts and the lives of all those that we will come in contact with, no matter where we will be. Father, we also realize that there are those that we'll come in contact with that you have already prepared the fertile soil of their heart to be able to hear this message. But Lord, we also realize that there are going to be those that are going to be hard-hearted. There are going to be those who don't want to hear it. Lord, I pray for strength and for courage when we bump into folks like that, that we would not be discouraged, but we would keep on sowing. Lord, I love how at times I've watched sowers, literal sowers, and I remember times when I would sow grass seed, and I didn't just take a little bit. I was taking it in handfuls, and I was just throwing that grass seed all over the place, and where they landed, Lord, grass would spring up. What a privilege that is when we think about that in the context of your word taking root in hearts. Lord, I pray that if there's one that doesn't know you today, that today would be the day they would give their life to you. Lord, give us strength for the journey. Help us to learn from this particular parable that we need to be about the Father's business. Lord, bless us and give us a great week as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, I want to thank you for taking this opportunity to spend with us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to give you a personal invitation to come join us for worship services on Sunday. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. If you happen to be familiar with the area, we would love to have you worship with us in spirit and in truth and deepen your walk. We also have plenty of opportunities for discipleship through Sunday school, small groups, Awana for children, just all kinds of things that are going on, ways that you can strengthen your walk. Would you join us? I'll be looking forward to seeing you. God bless. Have a great week.